Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful.
Guys, this was a 180. I mean, what do you think was the main factor that the Patriots had to turn this thing around?
Emotion. Nobody believed in them. Us against the world was back. And for at least 1 week, it worked. I don't know if that's sustainable and you can do it moving forward, but the old Rodney Harrison was in full effect, and this time it was actually true because everybody, even Fred Kirsch, doubted him.
Yeah, they used it. They used it to their advantage, and we know they've used it in the past, but Andy's right. This time it was very legitimate because a lot of people, us included, didn't think they could beat a team like Cincinnati the way they had been playing. So they turned it around, and I think they did use a lot of the negativity to their advantage. Now, we'll see if it's sustainable.
Right, and I think there's been negativity around the team at times, but this time it was very pointed. I mean, it was Tom Brady. It was Bill Belichick. It was the team doesn't care about winning championships. Right. I think it was very pointed this time. And I think, like you said, they heard it and they used it.
And we talked about it last week on PFW in Progress on our radio show. Tom Brady answers a lot of questions every Wednesday. But he's not often the subject of the questions. What can you do better? What do you need to do? There was a lot of you. It's usually, you know, how do you get on a page with Brandon LaFell or some of those things. So we saw from Rob Gronkowski postgame, players knew that their leader, their Hall of Fame leader, was being questioned, being doubted, and that's also a little different spin. It wasn't the Patriots. It was Belichick and Brady in particular being doubted, sort of the top of the pyramid.
Well, okay, all the noise and all the emotion, none of it would have mattered if that O-line didn't play better. And I think that's where it starts on the field.
Yeah, I mean, we saw the difference it can make when Tom is back there and he's a little bit more comfortable. First time, really, I can recall all season long that he looked consistently comfortable in the pocket. They ran the ball great. Now, obviously, that helps. 220 yards rushing is going to make any quarterback's life a lot easier. But I just thought everything looked better. Everything looked different. And it's not a coincidence to me that Ryan Wendell was back in the starting lineup with Brian Stork and things sort of solidified a little bit more. Again, we'll see if it's sustainable, but clearly that's the best the offensive line has looked all season long.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned the running. If you can't open holes, you can't run. And if you can't give Brady time, he doesn't get to distribute the ball. And 8 guys caught passes.
Yeah, but you look at the top of it. Who was at the top of it?
Well, Rob Gronkowski.
Rob Gronkowski. Yeah. That was another key factor to me. Gronk is starting to, wasn't perfect. He had some drops. They weren't quite on the same page on a couple throws. But he was catching the ball, and then after that, he was looking to beat somebody up, to give a flipper to somebody who, you know, have the audacity to try to tackle him. Right. So I think Gronkowski, and we saw the post-game emotion and the whole, I told my brothers I was going to help 12 show who he was today. Right. I'm hoping because of that, that's sort of a leaping board for him physically to say, all that injury crap, that's in the past. I'm Gronk. I'm back. Deal with me.
So he's getting better. Do we see the return of the two tight end offense with Tim Wright? He had a big game, 5 catches and a touchdown.
You know, and let's, you know, get back to the beginning of your point was, you know, kind of what changed in the six days. I put coaching in there as well. We talked about Brady and Belichick was sort of hearing it. I thought they simplified things a little bit this week. They game plans, but they didn't try to get too fancy with it. Cincinnati was having trouble stopping the run. They ran the ball a lot. They ran for 220 yards. Cincinnati was missing linebackers. They accentuated the middle of the field. Edelman catches passes in the middle of the field. Gronk, Tim Wright, 5 catches, 5 targets, like you said. Everything is between the numbers. That's where Brady throws the ball better. I really think Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick simplified things a little bit and did the stuff that even idiots like us can say going into a game. These are areas they can exploit. Not necessarily trying to trick them and say, we know they know that we're going to run the ball. We're going to do this because they're not going to expect it. They knew what they were going to do. Cincinnati knew what the Patriots were going to do, and they couldn't stop it.
Yeah. On the other side of the ball, I have to admit, when the inactives came out, I was a little bit worried when Dante Hightower was on it, but the defense held its own as well.
Yeah, and that was sort of irrelevant up front. We saw Deontay Skinner, and we saw, you know, Chandler Jones kind of in a limited role. He's dealing with a shoulder. So you're right, there were some concerns there. But what we also saw was another one of those things that we've kind of been looking for, Darrell Revis. Darrell Revis on Revis Island chasing A.J. Green back and forth all over the field, holding him to 2 catches, 19 yards early, had an interception wiped out by his own penalty, a ticky-tack downfield penalty, illegal contact, forced a fumble on a catch that Green did make. And I thought everything else sort of fell into place off of that. You know, other guys were doing their job, and man, it wasn't perfect. You know, there were some open receivers, and Dalton missed some throws and things of that nature, but we've been asking for it all year. Just let Revis do his thing. You did it with Talib against A.J. Green. Why can't Revis do it? And we showed that he can.
Yeah, certainly. And the moment he went out of the game, you know, they let up that touchdown to Green, which was a little bit, you know, disappointing, but definitely Revis shows why he's, you know, still one of the best cornerbacks in the league.
Now, the downside on the defense and overall was a little bit of the injuries. McCourty went down with that rib injury. Your middle of your field, you talk about the Bengals being taken advantage of. The middle of your field looks a little tenuous, but it's all positives this week.
It's all positives.
The Patriots defense probably coming off its best performance of the season on Sunday night, and they did it using a lot of four-man fronts. I'm not ready to say this is what the defense is going to be moving forward. There were some extenuating circumstances in that. Chandler Jones, very limited in his snaps. Dante Hightower didn't play at all. But what I did like was the aggressiveness that they showed, regardless of scheme and regardless of personnel. I saw Casey Walker, Vince Wilfork inside, penetrating against the run. We saw Gerard Mayo reading and reacting very quickly, getting some penetration going after the football. Regardless of whether it's a three-man front, four-man front, I don't care, but I like the aggressiveness and I like to see it continue. I'll tell you one more thing I liked on Sunday night. Shane Vereen. This is the kind of performance I've been looking for from the third down back. I thought he was outstanding picking his spots. When he gets the football, he's going to get it more often than not in those kinds of situations. Spread out, a lot of times in passing formations, passing sets against sub packages, and you need to average better than 3-4 yards a carry in that. You're looking for big plays. You're looking for 9 carries, 90 yards, okay. Maybe not always 10 yards a carry, but you're looking for him to get to the second level and make people miss. That's what he did Sunday night. He came up with some huge runs against some lighter fronts, none bigger than a 3rd and 16 when he came up with a 19-yard run. It extends a drive, and you end up with a touchdown instead of a field goal that effectively ended the game. That's the kind of impact I think Vereen can have, and that's what he did on Sunday. My last point is going to sound a little bit more negative than I intended, and that's about the penalties. The Patriots had 12 of them again on Sunday, and Coach Belichick isn't going to be happy with that. But I do think they came out of aggressiveness and definitely came out of emotion, and that stuff needs to continue. The Patriots showed on Sunday they can get really whooped up for a big game, get a lot of energy, a lot of juice in the stadium, and play with a lot of emotion against a very good football team and perform well. Can they sustain that? Can they bring that emotion to Buffalo? And can they do it while playing a little bit more discipline? That's going to be a big test for this team because right now they're committing too many penalties, and eventually that's going to hurt them in a game. It's going to cost them a football game. But I'd like to see that emotion continue.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Just using what I learned from being a wide receiver and applying it to the tight end position, I'm utilizing it well, and I like how it's going.
Patriots Football Weekly. Brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Putnam, new ways of thinking for financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide.
Images of the week from a huge win against the Bengals. This first one is Chris Jones fighting through a double team, getting face masks, and still making the sack. Have the Patriots finally settled on a front five? I hope so. And I picked this picture because, well, it's cool.
Player Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
This week, we're joined by Patriots tight end Tim Wright, who had a huge game and the Patriots' biggest win of the season Sunday night against Cincinnati. What has it been like, Tim? Obviously, you got here real quick, the end of training camp, the end of the preseason. What has it been like getting acclimated?
It's been awesome. The Patriots is a great organization led by great leaders, and the guys in the locker room, you know, is really where it starts when it comes to having a personal relationship with, you know, with the program. And they welcome me with open arms, and I feel very comfortable here. You know, feel like I'm right at home with the guys, and it's good to have that feeling to go out here and every day and, you know, work very hard and then go out on Sundays along with these guys running out that tunnel and putting those type of numbers up on the game.
Now, I know you have 5 catches in the game the other day, and I know that you make it look like it's easy, but that's a lot of catch up in a short period of time. How difficult was it to sort of get get on the same page with this offense and, just sort of playing catch up right from the start.
Yeah, it's definitely been a long road, and, the road is even longer when you look ahead. But I just take it day by day, and the coaches are doing a great job of getting me on track and dissecting the game plan to make it specific for me, to be able to lock in every day and know what my job is and know what it entails and go out there and, on Sunday and just apply it.
Do you find it easier? The plays that you made Sunday night against the Bengals, a lot of times getting down the seam seems like something that you're very natural at. Is that, an area of the field you feel like it's almost easier for you to get open from there?
Yeah, that definitely is an area I'm familiar with, from my wide receiver days. And it's something that is definitely being involved into the game. A lot of guys playing tight end or bigger guys that can stretch the field and run down the seam or something that a lot of teams are looking for. But like I said, I like it. I think I fit the position, and the coaches are doing a great job of putting me in that position.
I'm going to ask you one last thing now about Rutgers, and I'm going to, because I see a shirt hanging in Tom Brady's locker, Rutgers football shirt, and I know that Rutgers beat Michigan, so I'm wondering if maybe you were a little part of that, or you just stay out of that and let the other Rutgers guys do that.
No, I actually wasn't a part of hanging it, but since I'm a Rutgers alum, it feels good to be able to throw that in Tom's locker and brag a little bit about that.
As we look towards the matchup with the Buffalo Bills, we're going to start up front once again. It's up to the Patriots' offensive line to continue to dominate. Coming off their best performance of the year, big challenge. Bills fourth in the NFL in sacks per pass play, 17 sacks on the season. 8 different guys have gotten to the quarterback for the Bills' defense. And that defensive front only allowing 3 yards per carry. Offensive line, if they're going to run in New England, if they're going to pass, it starts with you. We're going to fall back on an old standby, football math, for our second point here. 7 beats 3 every time. Patriots, if you're going to nitpick from last week, weren't great in the red zone, 50%, and they're just barely over 50% for the year. If you kick field goals, especially on the road, you can lose. Good news is the Bills aren't very good in the red zone either, tied for 31st in red zone offense. The teams that scores touchdowns on Sunday, probably going to win. Finally, as good as things were defensively last week, we all were raving about Revis in the back end. Front end, and admittedly, Chandler Jones battling an injury saw his reps a little bit limited. Pass rush needs to be better. You need to get after Kyle Orton. Put some pressure on him. Take some pressure off the back end of your defense. Rob Ninkovich, that's up to you. Need to start making plays off the edge, even if Chandler Jones isn't a full go.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Heavy proved that he couldn't play. Okay. That's fine.
Cannon, but you're asking, what's the best five moving forward, Andy? Ryan Wendell is in the best five.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, mobilizing your world.
Earlier this season on this show, Paul said he thought the Chargers were the team to watch, and through 5 weeks, he's spot on. Phillip Rivers has his team 4-1 with his 116.3 QB rating and 12 touchdowns to only 2 interceptions. Antonio Gates already has 5 touchdowns, and the team has a plus 70 net point differential. No other team in the league is even close. They're doing it with defense as well. Their 63 points allowed is also tops in the league. It looks like the San Diego Chargers are ready to give the Denver Broncos a run for the AFC West.
Hey, it's time for Thursday Night Football, right? Nothing better than the NFL adding a game during the week so we can all enjoy some really bad football. I think the NFL has really tried to create a lot of divisional matchups for these games. I think with the idea that the teams know each other, there's a little bit less game planning involved. But what it's turned into is a mess. These games are just turning into blowouts. And I really think that's unfortunate, especially this week. You get Indianapolis and Houston, a game that I think would be a very interesting one to watch. And probably one team's going to end up getting blown out because games just aren't meant to be played on Thursdays. 4 days is not enough time for these guys to recover and repair themselves to get ready for the next game. And it's unfortunate because these are two teams that I really have my eye on in the AFC. And I'd like to see them play on Sunday, not Thursday.
Not sure if you caught it this week, but Jets young quarterback Geno Smith had a little problem. He may have missed a meeting on Saturday night, the night before a game, because he went to a movie in San Diego. But don't worry, he clarified it, and I'm going to read his clarification. You'll feel great about it afterwards. Well, see, the Times, we always get the schedule. We get emails and all that stuff. Mainly, I just counted down instead of counting up and got the times mixed up. So I guess you could say I was on West Coast time, thinking I was on West Coast time, and then, I mean, thinking I was on East Coast time when we were actually on West Coast time. So that was just my mishap. It really had nothing to do with time zones. Gino, thanks for clarifying that, and thank you for being the Jets quarterback.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
The group's been in flux most of the season, but coming off their best performance to date, simple question. Is this the starting five to move forward with on the offensive line?
I think it has to be. I think you look at what they've done the first month. It was a struggle every game, and they finally got things settled down. And I think it's not a coincidence that Ryan Wendell was part of that equation. You put him in at guard. He has the most experience out of all of those guys. It definitely settled down. You got to stick with it.
I think it's a coincidence. I think Ryan Wendell is too small, not strong enough to play guard. He's been a center, a successful center, but I think they wanted to upgrade even there. That's why we have Stork. And guess what? They didn't want him at guard either because they went through every other option from Cannon to Devy, everybody. And then they said, okay, Ryan, get in there. And you're right. It happened to be the best performance of the year. Coincidence. If you want to have the best five moving forward, Wendell's not in that group.
Well, here's something else I know. You're right. They wanted to have They wanted to have anybody else play but Wendell. And they all weren't as good as Wendell. None of them even came close to the performance that he had. Jordan Devy
was. We don't make snap judgments around here, though. One game and everything's fixed. He's fine.
That's a snap judgment?
Yes,
one game or three years?
One game.
Because Ryan Wendell has been
part
of
this. Oh, he played guard for 3 years?
He played some guard.
Didn't
he played a lot more guard than Jordan Devy and a lot more guard than Cameron Fleming.
Didn't know
and you know what else he did?
I thought he played center a lot.
He played it better than those guys. And
really?
We saw that all Sunday night right here at Gillette Stadium. The offensive line was not a problem for one game.
Oh, that's right.
The other
shoulder
blocked
because Wendell was in.
Listen.
So that's why it was better.
You can
a guy three guys away made shoulder better.
If you want to go coincidence, you can go coincidence that the rest of it fell into place.
Let's stick with the facts.
But the fact that Ryan Wendell is better than the guys that were playing ahead of him the first 3 weeks, 4 weeks is not a coincidence.
I'm telling you, he will be exposed at some point physically.
That
you need to develop
happen.
Somebody
the,
else.
The question
whether
is,
it's Cannon,
who's better?
Whether it's Fleming, it is one of those guys that are better suited physically to play the position.
I don't like Cannon in there either. He got killed. He was too slow. I didn't like the way he looked.
Oh, that's right. Wendell
stick
had
with
one
Wendell.
Good game. Just stick with it.
Yeah, 3 years in one good game.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Fisher Plows. Locked and loaded for New England's wicked winter weather. Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Fantasy tip of the week, brought to you by DraftKings. Don't be afraid to use players coming off of a bad performance. The NFL changes drastically week to week, and using a guy who struggled in the week prior can often lead to a huge reward and low ownership percentages in tournaments. Just look at Tom Brady from week 4 to week 5. Remember, you can win real cash prizes playing fantasy football at DraftKings.com. Head over there today and use the promo code PFW to receive a free entry into a weekly fantasy football contest.
Well, it's that time of the show where we answer the questions that you sent us all week. But first, the Wilson Hart Power Index, Andy. What's going on?
Burning up.
Big move.
Hot off the presses. Patriots up 6 to number 8, thanks to their victory over the Bengals.
Makes sense.
Had a little turnover up top, obviously, because the Bengals were previously tied for number 1. And Fred, I believe a team you talked about earlier that you now think is surprisingly one of the best teams in football.
Well, Paul didn't think it was
the Chargers.
Yeah.
That I told you last week was the best team in football and you mocked it. Now you believe that it's the best team in football. Chargers take over number 1 overall spot. Packers, Bengals, Colts, Broncos, Patriots, Seahawks. You all criticized they were a little low last week. All jumped up the power rankings. Broncos 5, Seahawks tied for 6, Patriots 8. And I know Patriots fans like to check in on Rex Ryan and the Jets. Now 31st in the league, ahead of only the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, I would have put the Jets last, but that's okay.
See, the numbers.
We're getting better.
There's no emotion in here. It's numbers, Fred.
It's only taken like 5 years, but you're starting to get the hang of it.
It's not bad. I don't even have anything to complain about.
You know, we didn't get it last year when the Seahawks were wire to wire by far the best team in the index. Oh, wait, what did they win? The Super Bowl, it's called.
He's just going to keep talking.
Yes, I am. Go.
All right. Let's get to the questions that you sent to askpfw@patriots.com. The first one comes from Ken and he's wondering about the D-line. He says, I think the Patriots are dangerously thin on the D-line, and with Joe Villano gone, they simply need a big body in there until Salinga returns. Do you guys agree?
Well, we got a taste of it. Casey Walker. You know, they signed him a week ago, or a week and a half now, I guess, off the Panthers practice squad. He was inactive in Kansas City, made his debut the other night. I thought he looked like a big body with some athleticism. A couple times he got in the backfield. He had that play where he threw Jeremy Hill down where there was maybe the fumble. So I think they need depth there. I still think it's sort of precariously thin, but maybe Walker is going to be one of those pleasant surprises like Chris Jones and Salinga were last year.
Yeah. Were you surprised that they released Villano?
Yeah, a little bit because of what Andy just said. I think there is some depth issues there, but you know, you put Buchanan on IR, even though he's a defensive end. You wonder where the backups, if they get some more injuries up front, where the backups are going to come
from.
But
he's a guy, probably a good chance you can get him back if you need him.
All right, Richard writes, and he wants to talk about the O-line now, and he says, I have a feeling that for this season, Belichick had hoped to upgrade Connolly and Wendell positions with perhaps the likes of Cannon and Fleming, both physically stronger. But that hasn't taken place, and so he wants to get your take on whether or not you feel they've upgraded or...
Well, clearly they wanted to bring in some new young offensive linemen. They drafted three of them. One of them didn't make it in Jalapio, but Cameron Fleming, to me, is a tackle. He played all exclusively right tackle at Stanford. He looked like a tackle trying to play guard in his game against Kansas City, so I'm not sure they targeted Fleming to replace any of those inside guys, but I think the larger point is dead on. Belichick wanted to get some younger offensive linemen to perhaps push guys like Dan Connolly and Ryan Wendell, and we saw that during training camp. He was using a lot of different combinations. Maybe we saw against the Bengals five that he likes, and we'll stick with it going forward, but I think the larger point is dead on.
All right, and this one comes from AJ. He says, everyone wants to question the player's performance, and rightfully so, but my question to you is, how would you grade the coaching staff's performance thus far, Belichick, McDaniels, Patricia, and so on?
I would give them a C. I think they've been somewhat average. I think there's been some questionable lineup calls. You talk about the offensive line, the rotating, and the different guys they've had play guard, moving pieces, you know, starting games where it looked like running might be the best way, and they come out in the shotgun and throw in three times and then a punt. Defensively, some of the 3-4 fronts with Chandler Jones out of position. You know, I think there's a lot of things you can point to that, whether you believe it is just Belichick making the decisions during the week in terms of personnel and game plans, or if you also blame McDaniels and Patricia, I think they've been very average, and maybe that's why you're an average football team with a 3-2 record at this point.
It's a good way to put it. I would say last week was an A, and that brought the average for the season up to a C.
Correct. So, with plenty of room to improve, right. But could be a lot worse. You could be firing Dennis Allen in week 4.
All right, good questions. Every week, send them to us at AskPFW@Patriots.com.